You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know what? Here's my problem with Halloween. As an adult, right? Now that I have a kid and he wants to go out for Halloween, he wants to go trick or treating. We still go to the store and buy like $50 to $60 worth of candy. Why do we still go out when we have all that candy at home already? All the kinds I want.
You don't even have to do the legwork. It's all there for you. Why are you giving it to other people? Just turn the lights off, go in the other room, turn a movie on, and eat all of that candy yourself.
And we don't have to sift through the bags of candy corn. Like, I'm just like, I'm going to buy a 300 pack of Mike and Ike's.
That's what I'm going to eat. I don't need your Necco wafers. Get those out of my face.
I hate kids.
Hello, everybody. This is Travis.
Hey, everybody. This is Brandon. And I just want
to... How enthusiastically can we say hey?
I just want to say that I don't actually hate kids. I know the cold open says otherwise.
It was a bit. It's a bit.
It's a bit. It's like when I keep a little notebook with all the stand-up material I want to put into a stand-up at some point in my life. And that's part of the bit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think you can say almost anything so long as it was a bit, right?
Right.
And nobody records it and can use it against you. We're not recording this now, are we?
No.
Okay.
Just kidding. That was a bit as well.
Hey. All right, guys. This is Apathetic Enthusiasm. As we said, I'm Travis. He's Brandon.
I'm Brandon.
And we take a look at current articles and popular trends, psychology stuff. Maybe.
Yeah,
this is kind of psychological what we're talking about today.
A little bit.
But we try to look at that through a pop culture lens, best we can. Brandon, you came up with an interesting experiment for us this week. It's why don't you just go ahead and explain what you wanted us to do?
All right. Yeah. So this happened to me this week at work. We were talking a lot about personality tests and you're this personality, and I'm more of an outgoing type, introverted extrovert, that's not a thing, but
yeah, apathetic enthusiasm, oxymorons yeah, abound here.
Exactly. And so when it got to the end of the week and it came down to us talking about a topic, I thought, you know what, I wonder what Travis's personality is. And compare that to
boring.
Mine. Boring. So we found out that Travis's personality type is, in fact, just the boring personality type.
Yeah, it's only 0.001%. It's very hard to get, but
absolutely. So I'd done this test, this Myers-Briggs test, a couple months back, and so I wanted to retake it to see how I fared, and then I wanted to see how Travis did. And so actually I found an article that talked a little bit about personality tests and whether or not they're accurate, right? And so that's where this article comes in, which is an NPR article actually, which is personality tests are popular, but do they capture the real you? By Annie Murphy Paul.
That name throws me off with the extra first name at the end.
Yeah,
like Annie Murphy. I'm good. Who's Paul? What is Paul doing here?
It's like if the author's name was Peter Paul Mary, it would have.
Yeah. That. Whoa. Okay. Anyway, no, that's a band. That's not a real person. We're recording this at about 12:30 in the a.m. My time. So we'll see how straight I can stay on course for the rest of the episode.
And I'm drinking scotch whiskey all night long.
Scotch. Okay. So we did the personality tests. We got our results. The first test I looked up was like a $50 test. Yeah. And then you're like, hey, go take this other one that will basically give you the same idea, but then try to sell you a lot more information after the fact.
Right.
So if you want to try this, if you're listening, head out, Google on the internets and find a Myers-Briggs test that you can find out your personality type.
Well, I'll actually make sure that the link is in the show notes. So,
oh, very good call.
Head over to.
Way to make it easy for the people, Brandon. Way to be there to, I don't know, look out for the best interest. Is that part of your personality type? What were your results?
What are my results? I think we'll go into our results and then we'll talk a little bit about this article in depth, right?
Definitely, yeah, for sure.
Okay, so first and foremost, I am a diplomat, mediator, an INFP, which is introverted. I have to get all the letters again. Introverted, intuition, feeling, and perceiving. Those are my four aspects with a dash A for assertive. What did you have?
Nearly the same. It's a wonder that we're friends. I am the personality type of the advocate, an INFJ-A, an introverted, intuitive, feeling, judging.
That's
assertive.
Right. Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. You're always judging me.
So harshly the time
because I'm the funny one. And so, what is all right? So we'll start with your results, right? The test we took on this particular site. There's maybe about 4 or 5 pages of additional information, right? And the thing you took the test and you said, oh man, it's got me nailed. What?
Well, I mean, there were certain parts of the they give you that like that splash screen where it's like here's your personality type. Here's a little bit about what that means. Here are some other popular INFJs that I guess you could relate to. Mine were like Martin Luther King and Mother Teresa. And I was just like, that's swinging for the fences. I'm more of like a, you know, bouncing off the pitcher's mound kind of guy to make a terrible sports analogy. But yeah. And then it goes on page after page of different descriptions about how you interact with other people, how you interact with work, your relationships, things like that. Some of those paragraphs illustrated situations that were very much, yes, that is how I behave in this situation. This is definitely how I interact with others, how I feel about certain things.
Yeah.
Other things were kind of generalized and could probably apply to a wide number of people. So I kind of take all this with a grain of salt, but I think we'll get into that a little bit later. But yeah, there are definitely parts where I'm like, yes, that way of thinking is definitely how I enter into situations.
Right. Yeah, I had that same kind of experience when I took the test originally, where I was reading through it and I was like, oh my God, yeah, it knows me. It knows me. Too, like, eerily knows me. And my buddy Patrick Orr, right, he took it and he's the same as me. Minus one letter. He's ENFP, so he's extroverted.
Right. Yeah.
And so we were both just talking to each other on our work instant messenger, and we kept like quoting lines from ours, and we're like, oh my God, that is you. oh, that is, what? Why does this know us? And on a side note, this test knows me more than Chelsea knows me.
Chelsea being your wife of over a decade.
We went to the store today, and she spent about 5 minutes in front of the relish jars. And she's like, does Brandon like sweet relish or dill relish? And which is a question that I feel has been established every time I go to the store and say, ugh, sweet pickles, disgusting.
I was totally gonna guess dill relish. I'm just putting that out there.
Right?
Anyway, I would have rolled the dice and brought home the dill. Just want you to know that.
Okay, well,
Chelsea, if you're listening, hit the dill.
She rolled the wrong dice and she bought a jar of sweet relish to put in our deviled eggs.
Her D20 came up with a 2.
Roll for right answer. Critical.
It was a perception rule.
Nerd. anyway, yeah. So it was so cool to me because it didn't necessarily open my eyes, because I feel like I have a pretty good sense of who I am anyway. But just to kind of have it confirm certain aspects of me. And then I actually read some of the other ones just to see, like, okay, maybe it is like astrology, horoscope-ish, this particular website we looked. And I was like, no, those things don't apply to me. They had the right one. My test showed up with the right one.
I'm interested because there's a couple things at play here. One being that you are answering a significant amount of questions. It's not an overly long test, but they estimate about 10 to 12 minutes to complete it. And you're answering on a spectrum, usually from strongly to agree all the way to strongly disagree. And you're building information about yourself for the website to figure out. So whereas astrology, they just kind of pick an arbitrary point, like the day that or the month that you were born. Yeah. And then we're supposed to assume everyone that was born within that month all has the same personality or the same outlook. This is really based on how your worldview is at the time that you take the test. Yeah. So
such
and
a Leo,
your feelings about yourself.
Such a Leo thing to say.
Such a Leo. You know me. Rar.
You're a Leo, right?
Absolutely. Through and through.
Oh man.
Whether that matters or not.
We're the best.
I'm Leo.
We're the best.
So this article, the NPR article, they kind of take a skeptic approach to these personality tests. They're not really buying in on the idea. There's definitely a counter argument where the writer starts out by saying that she outright says that they're inaccurate or not correct.
Yeah.
And made that claim like 12 years ago or something like that.
Yeah, she wrote a book, right? The Cult of Personality Testing. Which basically said, yeah, the accuracy of these tests is not good, and it's in some ways no better than horoscopes, right?
Right, and she's not just referring to this Myers-Briggs test, but all personality tests over the course of the study of psychology. So she includes Rorschach tests in that. There are some other tests. I don't have the article up in front of me. Failing you as a co-host.
Myers-Briggs.
That one. Two.
One done by a Stark Hathaway.
But it's all talking about sort of this, and it's more about the groups of people that take these tests and then live their lives based on the results of their personality test, almost to a point where it's almost a religious experience for them, where everything they do kind of revolves around their four-letter acronym that describes who they are as a person and their personality.
Yeah, what I think the author also goes into is this kind of acceptance of, okay, people do. I understand that people do take this information, their four-letter acronym, and they glean some insight, right, from the whatever their personality is, right? And so she's okay with that. What she ends up not being okay with, and this is what her book was about evidently, is using your personality types in like hiring or promoting in the workplace or where you should be put in school, stuff like that. And saying that, okay, it's okay for people to like get some information about themselves and open up their eyes to who they are, but it's not okay for someone to use these tests as an actual marker of who this person is.
Yeah, and I think the workplace example is particularly interesting because if you were going in for a job and part of the application process was to take a personality test to show how well you would fit in at the job, your answers for those questions may not be 100% authentic. You're forced to take the test. It's not something you're doing willingly. And I think if you're taking that test trying to appear a certain way, you may not answer the questions 100% accurately.
Yeah. So real world example, my younger brother, Brett, he's going in for air traffic control. He's actually at the Air Traffic Control Academy in Oklahoma City. And one of the...
Shout out to OKC.
Yep, Bob. Shout out. Bob Carroll.
Thunder up.
You still got tickets, season tickets? Can I get one? No, I don't want one. Just joking.
We should meet up in OKC and go to a game.
Brandon. Oh my God. Reunion.
What up?
Anyway, so Brett's at air traffic control school, but one of the requirements for the application was you had to take this really, really long personality test. And if you don't meet the criteria for what they want in a personality, then they'll turn you down. Well, we found out that some people had actually in the FAA message boards for like students applying, there were people saying okay, here's how you should answer all these questions. Here's
the personality that they're looking for ahead of time.
Here's the grading scale and the answer key. Essentially, make sure you answer all these questions right. That way you get in. And I think a lot of people got in trouble for it. But I mean, that's just the thing. Like, if you have to answer a certain way on a personality test, that's what I think the author is getting at. That they shouldn't be using this.
I feel like for the case where we took the test for this podcast, I wasn't trying to present myself a certain way or do it for, you know, a job or anything like that. So I think I was more open to answering honestly.
Mm-hmm.
The questions, the intro to the question says for you to answer it as honestly as possible, whether or not you like that about yourself. And I think that's an interesting thing for them to note is not everybody likes every aspect of their personality. And some people struggle with things that are inherently part of who they are. And so they try to hide those things or shield them from the world. So to make a point of saying, hey, answer these things honestly on the test to get a better sense of who you truly are, has some weight to it. And I thought that was an interesting point. So I tried to, there were some points where I was like, no, I feel this way about it. And then I thought about it and I was like, you know, maybe I do actually kind of approach situations in a different way. And I adjusted some of my answers accordingly.
Okay. All right. I'll be honest with myself.
I guess.
Okay. Yeah. I drink too much.
Scotch.
How accurate can these tests be in order to be used in these kind of decision-making processes, right?
And moreover, do you think that it's appropriate to require them at all? Do you think that you need to figure out about a certain type of personality to make sure that they're going to work in that environment, or is that something that you can do through an interview process or background checks or things like that? Do you feel like it's an appropriate thing to include in
the
hiring process?
I don't, right? I do not, because I don't think it has enough scientific backing with it to logically to say, okay, no, we need to you know, shun this person out of this job. And aside from that, you know, there's a whole aspect of diversity that you need to have. In, you know, we're in the Air Force, obviously. Travis, I think you are still.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I shave every day.
And you know, there's so many people that we know that are the opposite of us on this four-letter acronym scale, right? And sure. In every single one of these people adds something different and unique to the Air Force and the workplace. And this applies, I think, to every kind of industry that's out there. I don't think you can say, yeah, you know, we don't need the extroverted people who aren't feeling, right? Who aren't intuitive. I don't think that's the right thing, the right direction to go.
Yeah, I appreciate that way of thinking about things. And I think that various personalities and different, I don't know, I guess temperaments or things like that can have pros and cons. And in the right work environment, some people excel in certain areas and some people excel in other areas. And I guess the only counter argument would be if you're, say, I don't know, like in like the medical field or something, and you're like doing like working with patients, or like you're in customer service,
yeah.
But like then your personality is like super introverted and also like angry or something, and like, you know, like dislikes people or something, like,
yeah.
Maybe working with customers isn't best for you. Maybe you need to find a more technical job or something like that. Like, should that be the reason why you get hired or not? I don't know. Maybe you can adapt, but, yeah. And that actually brings me to another point that I'd like to bring up. And it comes up in the article too. It's Annie Murphy Paul. So she talks about how these personality tests, they place us in containers, sort of, right? They limit you to being a certain type of person.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas she feels human beings are way more complicated than any personality test has pinned. And there are more aspects to us, and there's more to our personality than can fit in a specific box. So yes, while I read that description of who I was as an INFJ or whatever, a lot of those things were accurate and things that I felt about myself, but I don't know if it painted a complete picture of who I am.
Yeah.
And if I did go read through some of those other ones, maybe there would be little bits that stood out where it's like, you know, that is how I feel every so often. And maybe not as much would apply, but yeah, there's probably a few little bits here and there where I'm like, okay, yeah, maybe I'm mostly this, but I'm also a little bit of these things as well.
Yeah. I think there's a certain level of the folks who are outside our heads, right? Our friends or coworkers, who, if they saw that you're an INFJ, they would say, oh, really? Really? I don't see that in you. Right? Like, I get that a lot from me. They're like, yeah, man, you're such an extrovert. You're always out, so outgoing all the time, blah, 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 blah. And like, actually, when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, I really need to be alone and not talk to anybody. Like, I need that time to recuperate. And like, wow, I didn't know that.
And that's the thing I've always been told about introverts and extroverts. It's not about your ability to behave in social situations. It's not about your ability to interact with other people, but it's more about how you charge versus recharge. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you're worn down, do you recharge by being around a bunch of people and hanging out and going to a party or something like that? Or do you prefer to go home maybe with only a couple of people or by yourself completely and enjoy activities that are a little bit more alone-ish, less social,
yeah.
To kind of recharge your batteries. And I know there's been a few conventions and things where we've attended where after three solid days of social interaction, you're like, I need a break. I need to go home and not talk to anybody for a while.
Yeah, and it's so weird because a lot of the people that we've interacted with, and I've talked to them after the cons, they're all the same way. They're like, they call it the post-con funk, right? Where there's like, I don't want to, I got to be away from people for a couple days, right? It's just,
although it I think them. The post-con funk might also be a viral infection that's going around due to questionable,
You know,
bathing habits.
Well, I usually get sick before the con, so I think I'm patient zero normally.
Yeah, I think you are patient zero most of the time. You should just stop shaking hands so much, Brandon. It's not helping anyone.
Hey, Brandon, apathetic enthusiasm. How you doing, sir? Here's my card.
It's
okay. No, I was going to say, you know, we like to think about these things in the lens of pop culture. I know there have been movies out there, like, for instance, I've heard Carl Jung mentioned just with regard to the Myers-Briggs test, because Carl Jung was where Myers-Briggs kind of took a leaping off point. And so, okay. You know, the first thought I had, of course, was A Dangerous Method by David Cronenberg, which is about Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung kind of combating over the psychological well-being of a young Russian woman.
Dangerous Method, was that the one that Coolio did the soundtrack for?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With Michelle Pfeiffer.
That's
inner city school.
That's right. Yeah. That's the one. No, it's not an inner city school. They're up north in Alaska, and they're trying to get crab.
Oh, that's Deadliest Catch.
That's what I got.
I was thinking of Dangerous Minds. That's what it was.
That's what I got in college.
All right, Brandon.
I'm just kidding. I didn't go to college.
So I didn't have quite an obscure reference to go off of, so I had to seek out the Googles, and yeah. I did what any fledgling podcast host would do, and I searched personality type movies, and I did not find a whole lot of movies, or any for that matter, that talked specifically about different types of personality and things like that. But what I did find was a gem that's almost sweeter, and that is a bunch of examples of movie and television show characters broken into their respective personality types.
That's good.
So what I did is I took my results, the INFJ, and your results, the INFP, and then got nice. a group of characters that sort of represent who we are as individuals.
Okay.
Right?
I'm excited.
So from the world of Star Wars, right off the top, I am more of an Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh.
You are a Luke Skywalker, which basically means I'm teaching you everything and you're a whiny moisture farmer from the
Amperu.
I was gonna go down to Tashi Station and get some power converters. Oh man.
Oh god.
So
I'm still alive.
Yeah, I'm alive in spirit.
Oh, so, that's know. Right. Yeah. You are an INFJ, and your avatar is a wizard, so that makes sense.
The Lord of the Rings, very popular series.
Okay.
You are more of a Frodo. So, you know, good for you.
Okay, what does that mean?
I don't know.
That have big hairy feet?
I think you care about the other people, but like
you
I don't know.
Like I just do
you're
what
kind
needs,
of a wimp.
I do what needs to be done. But you know, I keep making bad decisions
maybe
throughout the course of a 9-hour movie.
I was listed as Galadriel, which if you've seen all the movies, including some of the Hobbit movies, that I don't know if that bodes well for me, to be honest. I don't know if that's spot on. Dude, maybe it's a really old chart.
Does Galadriel die?
I don't think.
I'm just gonna assume
maybe.
That Galadriel dies.
We'll just assume all of my characters die. And
you're the Sean Bean of personalities.
It's pretty accurate as we go down here. So moving into the world of Marvel superheroes.
All right.
I have three of each for both of us.
Okay.
So the INFJs were more of your Captain America, Groot, or Doctor Strange, which I'm very happy to accept any of those characters. I wear a Captain America shirt. I am Groot. Doctor Strange in theaters, November 4th.
Okay, all right. Okay, all right. Captain America and Doctor Strange. Like, I'm with them on that. Okay, I can see it because your avatar for the INFJ is a wizard already. So Doctor Strange is good, and the Captain America. All right. I don't know where the Groot comes in.
He's self-sacrificing. he's a man of few words. He's more introverted. But you know he's a man of action.
He's a
tree of action, I guess.
And he has a very limited vocabulary.
Absolutely.
That is you to a T, which is a letter in the alphabet.
Whereas the more joking, witty, the funny one, if you will, Brandon as an INFP, your first character to come up with Spider-Man.
So, yes.
Right on. You also had Falcon and Carol Danvers, so you know, good on you. All fighting for the right side. All good folks.
Yeah, I think we're all on the same side. Civil War. Hashtag.
Oh, I just read Civil War issue 6 for Civil War 2. I'm still enjoying it. I'm still enjoying it. Okay. Do you want to know our Walking Dead characters?
Yes, I just want to say. Spider-Man makes sense. If I was a superhero, that would probably be me.
Do you want to guess who your Walking Dead character is?
Oh man, if Daryl or Carol.
Absolutely not. You're Tyrese.
Tyrese.
Yeah. And I can tell.
Oh hell nah.
but I'm Herschel. So, you know, I spoilers, lose my leg and eventually take a machete to the head.
Now, is this the Walking Dead TV or the comics?
The graphic I saw used their television characters as the images, so I'm assuming it's the show.
Oh, hell no. Nah.
and then the final one I have is Game of Thrones.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Excited for it to be back. And you are the mother of dragons.
All right.
And I know nothing. So.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. So Jon Snow and Daenerys. What do you think? What do you think about that crop of characters for yourself?
For me?
When you watch those shows, do you relate to any of those characters? Have you found yourself sort of gravitating towards them in any way?
Oh, hell no. Nah. Spider-Man, I've always seen a little bit of myself in Spider-Man.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've always seen a little bit of myself in Luke Skywalker, you know, just trying to get away from the family farm.
You know, yeah. Looking, you just
a life of adventure. Yeah. Life of adventure.
Used to hit and womp rats.
Yeah.
Out.
And ending up on the same crappy planet time after time.
Kissing your sister after
God, if
only being long gone from each other.
If only I had a hot sister to make out with.
Just give me that chance.
What do you think?
Mine are the Galadriel one is sort of out of left field for me. But Obi-Wan, yeah, I've always liked Obi-Wan. My favorite of the new Star Wars run of comics is one where it talks about Obi-Wan's backstory kind of leading up to it's all of his time on Tatooine before he actually hangs out with Luke Skywalker in A New Hope.
Here's a question for you. Of the Marvel characters, which one do you relate to most of the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
I really gravitate a lot towards Captain America, to be honest.
Gosh, such a Boy Scout.
And you know, that's that part about being honest, right? You know, it's not the best answer, but it's the honest answer probably.
Yeah.
Is the Boy Scout in Captain America. Yeah.
Yeah.
Though I never was a Boy Scout. So
maybe it's because I have a man crush on him, but it's probably Ant-Man of all the Marvel.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I can totally see that.
Oh, okay, cool. So I'm not just deluding myself. Like that's actually
you're not coming up with that. I'm the Hulk because we just look vaguely similar.
You are such a Ruffalo. Like,
so Ruffalo. All right. Well, anything else you want to cover on this, Brandon, about the personality test?
Yeah, I wanted to ask just the last question. And I look back at myself just 5 years ago, and I'm embarrassed by the things I've done and said. And I look back 10 years ago and exponentially more embarrassed about things I said and done. But then when I was a teenager, okay, obviously it's like the world is just a completely different place from where I am now, maturity wise. Do you feel that your personality has changed since you were a teenager, or is it just stayed the same, but just kind of, matured a little bit, I guess. It's a weird question, but
yeah, I definitely think as I became a teenager, I definitely became more, my personality really fleshed out. Teenage years are an awkward time, and we sort of are trying things out and trying to figure out who we are. And so as I started to become an adult, 18, 19, 20, I was really, a little bit more outgoing and a little bit zanier and crazier, I guess. And I've calmed down since I became a husband and a father, but my kids definitely see that weird side of me on a regular basis. Yeah. And hear my cheesy jokes and things like that.
Yeah,
you know, the real golden gems that don't even make it on the podcast. I feel sorry for their senses of humor as they mature. But yeah, I think by and large, my personality has stayed the same, but especially in the last like decade with, being in the military and things like that, there are aspects of my personality that have adjusted. Mm-hmm. And even just parts of how I see the world and how I see my place in it, it has sort of shifted a little bit. And so I think I have changed personality wise a little bit, in some ways for the better, in some ways, maybe not so much. But yeah, I definitely think my personality has adapted as I've grown up and as I continue to go through life. I think at my core, I'm still the same person,
mm-hmm.
but there are definitely things that kind of ebb and flow.
Yeah. One of the reasons I wanted to do this and take the test again was to see if just in a couple months I had a different indicator. Right. And, you know, it turns out, you know, I'm the same for the most part, but when I think back as when I was a teenager, before I started getting into like drama and stuff like that, going to like acting school, I was a fairly shy kid, I think. And I only had like, you know, just like a core group of friends. And it's weird because I'm like an onion, Travis, in the sense that
you smell real bad and make people cry.
I did smell really bad. I used to like eat a bag of, salsa verde Doritos every day, and that guy, I don't know how I had a girlfriend back then.
Way to perpetuate the stereotype, Brandon. Really, really good.
So super smelly. But so I think there's multiple levels where like I developed this way of being an introvert and this shy kind of person, but having this mask of extroversion or outgoingness that mm-hmm. yeah. that I've developed all the more since I was a teenager, right? And now I use it in my leadership style and my management style just for people who I work with.
Pretty cool.
So I think it's interesting.
It is.
Yeah. I don't know how accurate it is all these tests, but it's still like we refer to each other in like when you're meeting new people in the Air Force. There's this four lenses, this four colors personality test, and you always, you can, everyone's done it pretty much in the Air Force, and you can go up to somebody and be like, hey, what's your colors? Like, oh, I'm a gold, I'm really organized and kind of stickler, Like, oh yeah, I'm more like a blue green. I'm in touch with people's feelings, but I'm also very logical. So, oh, okay, cool. And
it is funny in my computer career field how many people are like greens,
yeah,
and gold, and just like super logical, super like analytical people.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something to all this stuff.
But isn't it funny how we refer to ourselves as that? Like, and how universal it is within our job that we know what our four colors are and how to adapt our leadership or personality styles to suit certain other colors.
Hmm. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyways, I'm a blue-green, so.
All right. Shout out to the blue-greens out there. Well, what do you guys think about all of this personality stuff? Do you think it's a load of hogwash, or
do you live your
life around the personality test that you're taking? We'd love to hear what you guys think about it. If you guys go check out the article, we'd love to hear your thoughts on whether or not these personality tests are worth paying attention to in the first place. Did you go out and take the personality test? Do you want to share your results with us? Do you match us? Are you completely opposite? And even if you just have another story idea, we'd love to get your input for a future topic. You can do all of that stuff over at our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com. You can follow our social feeds at facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow. Over on Twitter at apathusiast, on Instagram apathetic_enthusiasm, and you can email us show topics any day of the week at apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. That's all of them, right? Did we get them all?
That's it. I one last recommendation: go watch Garden State for an example of what Travis is.
That's me and my wife right there, Garden State. I'm gonna probably watch that movie now.
See,
I took a week off of work. There's a good chance I'm gonna watch that movie.
I called it. There's Travis's personality.
you think I'm this depressed Zach Braff character that like
that matches with the walls?
I will tell you what, I thought about that movie a lot when I went back home for when my dad was passing.
Uh-huh.
Just because the themes and everything were kind of in line, but yeah. Yeah, there's some nuggets. There's some Travis nuggets in that movie for sure.
All right, Travis nuggets. You can get them at McDonald's.
They're all white meat now. All right, guys. Until next week, thank you so much for listening. I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon.
We'll see you next time.
Have a good one. Or two.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.